Ladies, Chavis Halvavos Shir in Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Sunday, Lamed Mar Cheshvan.
Okay, so we're learning Chavis Halvavos, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, things to think about, and the Shar is really, this is the main part of the Shar is Perek Gimel, and it's really an overview of the whole Sefer, and again, if you don't think about the things, it's almost pointless to learn it. It teaches us what to think about. So we're in the middle of number 7. He talked about various things to think about to create a feeling of gratitude towards Hashem. That those were a few of the first few cheshbonos. Now, number 7 is he's telling us to think about how we should feel. In other words, how we should act like an Eved. Not an Eved in the sense of someone that's under the thumb of the master, and he better not get him angry or he's going to throw him in the dungeon. You know, when the Chavis Halvavos talks about an Eved, he talks about someone who is totally dependent on the Adon for everything that he has, and therefore he feels very grateful to the Adon. The Adon treats him nicely. The Adon gives him what he needs. The Adon cares about him. So he feels thankful to the Adon. Most, when we think of slavery, we don't think like that. We think of Uncle Tom's Cabin. But the truth is that now they call them blacks, Negroes, Schwarzes, that were mamish members of the family, kemat. You know, they were treated in a very humane way. They were slaves, right? The institution of slavery is recognized by the Torah. But they were treated in a humane way, and the thinking was, I don't know, you know, nobody even thought about it, but the idea was that these were really savages in Africa, and they would be connected to Europeans or to America, and they would really become mentioned, and eventually they could be freed. I mean, that was the idea. But they would, the talks about an Eved, he's not talking about somebody that the Adon is whipping and is cruel and sadistic towards. He's talking about an Eved that has nothing but Hakaras HaTov to the master. He's dependent on him. Because of his circumstances, he doesn't have anything of his own. And there was an institution of slavery. Like, you can't ask a kasha, let the Adon free him. Maybe he's not ready to be freed. Maybe, you know, I remember learning in school, the Negroes were not ready to be freed when Lincoln freed them. They weren't ready. They weren't ready for sudden freedom. And it brought on a lot of terrorism, and we're still suffering the effects of that sudden freedom without, like, leading them up to it. I can recommend a book, an unbelievably great book. It's a book of historical fiction. It's called Every Man a Slave. I think you can get it. They just reprinted it. I know the author. It's historical fiction, Every Man a Slave, and it's about a slave, and it starts off how he was stolen from Africa by the Arab, you know, by the Arab slave. And he eventually becomes an Eved Kanani, it's an amazing book, and it has a lot of hashkafa in there. Stam hashkafa, hashkafa about slavery, hashkafa about mitzvahs, and it's really, I know the author, it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and it's interesting. It's historical fiction. He meets different people, and he meets very, very good. Every Man a Slave by Sender Ze'ev, I think that's his pen name. I think that's the pen name he took for this book. But there's a lot of hashkafa there also. Anyway, when the Chavis Halvavos talks about a slave, he clearly is talking about an Eved that has nothing but Hakaras HaTov to the master. That's what he's talking about. So he says, you have to act like an Eved would act, meaning acknowledge the Adon's beneficence, and, you know, when you're just thinking how to act, you should think about all of these things that we thought about in the Cheshbonos up till now, and how grateful you are to this Adon, and therefore you're not going to badmouth the Adon, and you're going to praise the Adon, and you're going to thank the Adon, and you're going to do what he says. Think of yourself, imagine, you are an Eved, we are a Vodim in that sense, and therefore think about how an Eved would act. How would an Eved act if the Adon gives him everything he has, and then one day the Adon does something and he doesn't quite understand it, and it's a little painful. If he was intellectually honest, he would say, wait a second, it doesn't make sense that all of a sudden he turned mean today. And even as he turns mean, he's giving me meals and he's giving me everything. So it really doesn't make sense. Maybe I should think a little and realize how this is good for me. Anyway, that's the Chavis Halavos' concept. It can be applied in many different ways. But the concept of number 7 is to think of yourself as an Eved. And that has a lot of ramifications. We're not going to go over the ramifications that we learned last week. We grabbed that towards the very end of number 7. He's talking about how we should be appreciative. He talks a lot in this Cheshbon, and he talks about how we should be appreciative he talks about how we should be appreciative that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us and raises us up high, that we are called the Am Hashem. And this we're towards the end of Cheshbon 7, and he says, "Ulefisha Shem Habori Yisala Gadol VeElyon Al Kol HaElyon Emeitzul Kol HaGoyim." Right, the God, the Lord of the world, K'mo Shekosov Kivi Mizvach Shemesh Al Mevoel Gadol Shmi BaGoyim. And we are Bonim Lamokom. We have a special relationship with him. And we're special Avodim. Everybody is the beneficiaries of his beneficence, but we're special, and he gave us special relationship, and he gave us Eretz Yisrael, a special land, and he gave us the Torah. And he told us how to do things that will make us find favor in his eyes, and things that are good for us. That have this special relationship, and you're supposed to feel these things. And look at all this saying, sentence after sentence after sentence. These are things that you're not going to think about it a whole day. I assume you're not going to even think about it every day. But if you're listening to the Shir, and if you understand what the Chavis Halavos is doing here, and you could think about one of these things once a week for 3 minutes, that's amazing. That's terrific. That's fantastic. So no one's going to go around thinking about all these things all day. It's not going to happen. But again, I've said this many times in learning Chavis Halavos, we're learning an ideal. This is something we should think about. So think about it once a week. Start to think about it once a week for 5 minutes. That's all. And you'll see, because if you really, really, not just, I have a homework assignment, but if you really think about it and mull it over in your mind, you're going to come up with chidushim, and you're going to come up with how great that is, and how, wow, Chavis Halavos didn't even realize what he's saying. It's so transformative, and it makes me feel close to Hashem. And these are the things. This is an Eved that feels the way he feels towards his master. So he says, you think about that we are special and take pride in that. Not gaiva pride, but act special. Act with the dignity that a bonum lamokum should act. So we are indeed a cut above the nations of the world. There's nothing that's the reality. We're a cut above. just like Kohanim, right? We're kalabov. We have a special relationship with Hashem. We thank Hashem profusely that we were born, or that we are Jewish, and it's a terrific thing. It's like no comparison. Thank you, Hashem. Thank Hashem for that. With Tom, and he brings down a few psukim to that effect. Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. So what does that mean? Husha Karanu Am Hashem. We're called Am Hashem. The Amalokim, the Kohanei Hashem. These are all phrases that we find either in Tillim. Amalokim is in Tillim. Am Hashem is in Bamidbar. Kohanei Hashem is in Yeshaya. Mesharsei Hashem is in Yeshaya. Avdei Hashem is in Tillim. Halleluka, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Wow, we are Avdei Hashem. Uvnei Hashem, that's in Shmos, Bonimat, Bonim. B'ni B'chori Yisrael, Adom Olazem, B'milos HaSegula V'HaBechira. There are words used in Tanakh that indicate that we are the chosen people, and we are an Am Segula, and that's something to feel and to be appreciative of. And so we're not like a low Eved, we're like Eliezer with Avram, right? Uven Meshek Basic with a Meshek Eliezer. We're running, we're the CEOs of Hashem's business. We're the CEO. Eliezer was the Rosh Hashiva of Avram's Yeshiva and the CEO of all of his holdings. He ran the whole show and he was the Rosh Hashiva and he gave Shurim. Tole Umashke. So that's pretty good. If we can do that for Hashem, we'd also be pretty good. Teach his Torah, learn his Torah, teach his Torah, spread his wisdom in the world, and run things. Make sure that they're running Keshura, make sure that they're running the way they're supposed to be run. So, what could one person do? I don't know. But one person at least should feel that they're special, and they have obligations because of that specialness, and they have obligations because of their gratitude for that specialness, and act accordingly. That's all. So again, if you think about it once a week, it's good. He goes on, the Pasuk Kishem Hashem Nikra Olecha, he just explained that we're called Am Hashem, B'nai Hashem, Avdei Hashem, Kohanei Hashem, and then the Pasuk says at the end, V'yoru Mimekka, he says, what are they going to be afraid? They're not afraid of you, they're afraid of Hashem. If they recognize us as Am Hashem, then they're afraid. We had a schus, that's a major schus, 60, 70 years ago, that just the very fact that the Jews came back to Eretz Israel was such a powerful Kiddush Hashem, so that you could have even not from people, but they represented in the eyes of the Goyim, they represented the Am Hashem. It's clear, it's on public record, things that were said, recognize that the Jews are returning to the land of the Bible. And there was a kiyum of V'yaru Mimekka. Since the Yom Kippur War, we've lost that. And now there's no V'yaru Mimekka, and there's mamash a kiyum of where it was fulfilled, the pasuk b'miluo yirdof echad meya v'shnayim yonisu revava. You needed one soldier to patrol hundreds and hundreds of miles, and now it's not like that at all. There's no more Yira, because we don't do things that, so there's two problems. First of all, they don't see the Am Hashem in the people they see. But they don't see it for two reasons. At least in those days, there was a tekufa in history where, although people weren't from, but they proudly said, we're returning to the land of our fathers. And that meant something to them, and they connected to Avraham Avinu, they connected to Hashem. I know it was clear, that's how it was thought of. The Jews are returning to their land, and everybody knew the land was given to them by Hashem. And now you lost that, ever since they didn't react to the Six-Day War the way they should have. Maybe, what can you expect from them? They don't even believe in Hashem. But the pioneers, the chalutzim, maybe they did it shelo lishma, because they wanted the frumah yidden to come with them and help build the land. So they talked. Okay. But the point is, in the eyes of the umos ha'olam, it was like that. We stood for Hashem. We still do, Baruch Hashem, to a great degree. Not enough to create the Yaru Mimekka. But the fact that they chose that the colors of the flag should be the Talis colors, and they chose the Mogen David, and the fact that they chose the name Israel as a Nes. It's a Nes Min HaShemayim. They chose the name Israel. That's very choshev, very sadistic that the country is called Israel. It's like a Nes Min HaShemayim. I don't know how I'd feel going to a country called Herzlvania. I don't know. They could have called it that. I don't know. But there's no Vyarumi Mecca, as I said, because the year is not you. You could have bombs, and you could have smart bombs, and drones, and iron domes, and you could have the most sophisticated. But there's no Vyarumi Mecca. I don't know if you realize it. I'm sure you do. You read the paper. There's no Vyarumi Mecca anymore. It's been going on a downhill slide since the Yom Kippur War. Because they don't see anymore the Hashem. That's what the Chodesh Halavas are saying. The Vyarumi Mecca is not, because they're not scared of you. You're a keves ben shivim zeivim. They're scared of Hashem. They don't start off with the Am Hashem. And now, you know, so mitzvah mitzvahs, they don't see it. Because they don't see mitzvah mitzvahs. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. We're living in a very difficult tkufa, ladies. It's getting worse. I don't know if people noticed the news last week with the marriages registration. Very terrible news. And the Bennett, I don't know if he's a Russia or not. I don't know. I don't know what's in his head. But now he says, now we're going to take care of Geirus next. It's a very, very sad matzav. So if you think voting doesn't matter, or electing from people to the Knesset doesn't matter, if there would be two votes either way, they would have... I mean, Hashem is in charge of everything, so you can't say what would have been. But, you know, the whole coalition, Netanyahu doesn't care. He cares, Haredim, not Haredim. He doesn't care. He's a politician, but Niluo. So he just cares about forming a coalition. So it was better for him to go with these guys. And Rabbi, you know, Hashem, Leib Melacha Be'er Hashem. So the Bayis Yehudi did something reprehensible. Now they stepped on their Rabbonim. All their Rabbonim said not to go for this bill. And they just... they don't care about their Rabbonim. You think they don't just care about Haredi Rabbonim? They don't care about Rav Lior, and they don't care about Rav Levanon. They don't care about any of their Rabbonim. They just went against all their Rabbonim. They just ignored them. So how do they... why are they religious Zionists? I don't know.
Why they do it?
Why? Because they are politicians. I don't know if he's a Rosh or not. I don't know. I don't know if he's... I can't look into his mind. And the Lapid, I can say, is a Rosh. I don't mind saying Yair Lapid's a Rosh, and he wants to bring down Torah, and he wants to make Niyah Kachov Umos, and he wants to make gay marriages, and he wants the whole nine yards. Bennett, I don't know. I don't want to call somebody a Rosh without... maybe he's just Mumala Teyavon. He wants power, and this is the way he's getting power. If he means what he's doing, B'davta L'shma, then he's a Rosh. Okay. Anyway, the Yarumi Mecca, the Yisod of the Chavos HaLevavos is the Yarumi Mecca, because they're afraid of Klal Yisrael as they represent Hashem. They're not afraid of Klal Yisrael because they have an army or bombs or whatever. As we see today, they're not scared of us anymore, even though we're the strongest country in the Middle East, officially. But there's no Vyarumi Mecca. So the Chavos says, who will cover Habori Umoro, Kamo Shenemar, Milo Yirachom Melech HaGoyim. So the end of the Pasuk, the Vro Kalama Yoret Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha Vyaru Mimekka, is because the Mimekka is Hashem. Kamo Shemar HaKos of Beneshan Vasidim Lagi Eilov Mizkorev. I'm happy it's not Shabbos today. I've been doing Borer like 1,000 times. No, I mean, thank you, but no, I have my scribblings here. This is what happens when you fall asleep and all your papers fall onto the floor. So we do things and we get close to Hashem. And this is what we're supposed to think about, that this is what we're doing. There's different madrigas of people. Not everybody is going to feel these things in the same intensity. So, I don't know, most printings don't have the whole pasuk. The whole pasuk is Zeh Yomar Lashem Oni, that's Tzadikim. V'zeh Yikorei B'Shem Yaakov, that's a lesser madrega. V'zeh Yichtov Yodo Lashem U'V'Shem Yisrael Yichune, and that's the different madregas in Klal Yisrael. Alkein, we're at the end of number 7, the last few lines. Alkein. Cheshbon number 7 is to think, how can I show Hashem that I'm indeed an Eved Hashem? And an Eved Hashem is something that covers 24 hours a day, as we've said many times. Anything I'm doing that is a thank you to Hashem, or a fulfillment of the will of Hashem, an acknowledgement of Hashem, a thank you to Hashem. The real Amdus, the Chavis HaLavah says, is the crux, the nub of Avdus is acknowledgement. Acknowledgement that Hashem provides us with everything we have. That is the nub of Avdus. It manifests itself in different forms. Hashem says, well, how do I thank you? How can I ever thank you enough? So Hashem says, oh, I thought you'd never ask. Do this, and do this, and do this. And he's not demanding, he's demanding that we have a pleasant life, a peaceful life, have good midos, make sure we thank Hashem every time we make a bracha, every time we daven, make sure we acknowledge Him verbally, with our actions acknowledge Him, and at the end of the day, we bond with Him and we're zochet to chayim nitzchiyim. So that's not much of a demand after all. That's the beauty of the system. Alkein, therefore, hashovim nafshecha ala inyan hazeh ochi. Think about this, let's take all the first few cheshbonos about what we should be appreciative for, and in number 7 you're saying, how you're thinking to yourself, and again, do it once a week for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. How can I show myself to be a loyal servant of Hashem? What can I do? How can I show Him? So you thank Him. I got to say for Tillim, and say capital Tillim, make a bracha with more kavana. You'll answer the question yourself. How can I show? And in Shara Vodas Elokim, because everything in this Shara he elaborates on somewhere else in the Sefer. So in Shara Vodas Elokim, he actually elaborates for 2 prokim about what an Eved would do, how an Eved would praise the master and thank the master and do whatever the master says, and he has a whole litany of, and he would never think badly of the master, and he would understand that the master means his good, because again, we're not talking about a cruel, sadistic master. We're talking about a wonderful master that has picked someone off the street who had nothing and given him everything. And Hashem did more than that, because He brought us into existence. So He didn't just pick us off the street. He created us out of nothing. A little bit of protoplasm mixed with mud. Presto. Throw in a rib and you got yourself. V'altate bo'achar yitzrecha. So don't be misled. He says now a very important thing. He says, you're going to be using your seichel here, and seichel is a dangerous thing, because seichel can lead you the other way too. Because it could, you want to plan things that are not so appropriate. You want to do things that are not so appropriate, and you plan them, and you make a tochnit, and they're not really kosher in the conceptual sense. So, velotaskim im ta'avoscha, don't. Again, an eved does not. It's not easy. An eved does not have. An eved doesn't live for himself. An eved lives for the master. The irony in our relationship with Hashem, that ultimately it all comes back to us, because Hashem needs nothing. and we're not doing anything for him. And the whole purpose of the whole everything is, it bounces back to us because we bond with him, and Hashem's bond with him, and that's how he created such a world, that we should earn our way. It's an amazing he didn't need it. What did he need it for? So Ramchal says he's a maitiv. Did he have to create the world? That's already heavy duty philosophy. We won't go there, because you can't say Hashem had to do anything except, again, that's philosophy class, because maybe you could say Hashem is compelled to do the types of things that a Hashem would do. Am I getting too heavy for you? Falling asleep? There's nothing wrong, L'chaira, with saying that Hashem is compelled. You know, the words sound funny, but there's nothing wrong. Once you get past the words sounding funny, so you say Hashem is compelled to be everywhere. Nothing wrong with that sentence. Just because you're saying the word compelled, it shouldn't react in horror. That's the nature of Hashem. He is everywhere. So there's nothing wrong with saying Hashem is compelled to be everywhere because he's Hashem. So when the Ramchal says Hashem created the world because he wants to be meitiv, it's really a very deep lesson in the very essence and nature of Hashem that he's compelled to be meitiv. And there's nothing wrong with saying that sentence, of saying the word compelled is not a scary word. It just means Hashem is compelled to exist. That's the Rambam in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Yisodei Torah. Hashem is the only thing that's compelled to exist. Everything else is dependent on his will. So he's Mukhrach HaMetzius. Mukhrach! How can Hashem be Mukhrach? Nothing's wrong with saying Hashem is Mukhrach HaMetzius, right? We all agree to that. We may not like understand it fully, but we all sort of intuitively understand that Hashem is Mukhrach HaMetzius. He must exist. He objectively exists. He must exist. And he's the only thing that does.
By his own will, by his
own ruling. Not ruling, because of he's Hashem. Hashem must exist. He's Hashem. The chair doesn't have to exist. It's because it's a figment of Hashem's imagination. And everything is a figment of Hashem's imagination. That's what Hashem Elokim Emes means, says the Rambam. The Pasuk Hashem Elokim Emes, and we echo that when we say in Kriyashma, Ni Hashem Elokeichem Emes, because Emes is not really part of the Pasuk. Emes is lifted from the Pasuk Hashem Elokim Emes, and we transpose the word Emes to the Pasuk Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which is where the Pasuk ends, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and we add the word Emes, and you're not allowed to be mafsik between Elokeichem and Emes, because we're echoing the Pasuk Hashem Elokim Emes. Anyway, the Rambam defined, I mean, that's beautiful thought, wow, beautiful, but the Rambam makes it even more beautiful, because the Rambam because of this Rambam, it becomes a very pertinent idea to Kriyashma. It belongs in Kriyashma. It's not just, hey, that's cute, it's that pasuk, you know, it belongs in Kriyashma, because the Rambam says that the explanation of the pasuk Hashem Elokim Emes is that Hashem is Mukhrach HaMetzius, and he is the only thing, being, power, essence, he's the only thing that is Mukhrach HaMetzius. Nothing else is. I say, like I said, Shabbos, 1 and 1 plus 2 doesn't have to exist. Nothing has to exist. The laws of physics doesn't. Nothing has to exist. So anyway, so v'lo taskim im tavosch, I don't know why I got into that. V'lo taskim im tavosch v'shtameshcha v'machshavtecha v'binoshavtecha. Don't use your seichel to be led astray. To say, well, Hashem gave me bechira. I don't know what the people can think, but that's the whole setup of the world. That's the whole setup of bechira. That we use this power of imagination, this power of seichel, this creative power that only mankind has. Only mankind has seichel, and only mankind has bechira. And it's a very, very powerful weapon. So all of it says, use your seichel to think about how you're an Eved Hashem, and how you could be a loyal Eved, and how you can show you're an Eved, and how you can show your appreciation, and how you can acknowledge. That's Cheshbon number 7. Don't use your seichel to figure out how to squirm out of mitzvahs, how to get out of this obligation and that obligation, how to talk Lashon Hara without crossing the red line. You know, that's not what your seichel is for.
V'tein el libcha hashkafas habori yisborach al cheshboncha b'matzboncha. Think about how Hashem is watching you and looking into your innermost thoughts, which is, if we would just think about that, we get frightened. Because if we think, someone tells us there was a video camera videoing our last 5 hours, we go, no, we gotta destroy the tape. But if you think about Hashem is thinking about, like, really, really deep, your motivations, not just your thoughts, not just your actions, not just your thoughts, but your kishkes, your motivations. Maybe not the motivations you're not responsible for. That's why we go to therapists nowadays, because he tells us, you resent your parents. That's why you're acting that way. It's very good for Bechira. I became a big fan of therapy. A good therapist. There are crazy ones out there. But a good therapist, Mamish, frees up your Bechira. He says, you're a good therapist. Yeah, he says, you know, the reason you act this way, the reason you have this pattern of behavior, is because you're compensating for the way you were treated in school, or you're compensating for that. Sometimes it's true, and it's very liberating, and you get back your bechira. There's always a battle in bechira. I mean, right, that's the famous Mr. Milio that everyone knows. There's always a battleground for bechira, but you can grow. You're like, you're free. You free yourself of the chains of the past, and you're ready to move on. And that's wonderful. He's worth the 400 shekel an hour he takes. Or 45 minutes, whatever. V'tia kavanos chabo lishmo. Oh man, that's so hard. And you should do things. In an ideal world, we don't even do things for Olam Haba. That's like, I know that's like beyond comprehension almost, but once in a while, okay, this I'll give you once a month, not even once a week, once a month, try for 1 minute to do one thing a month, just because because you want to say thank you to Hashem, and you don't care about all the haba, and you don't care about that it's a mitzvah, and you don't care that your neighbor will think you're a tzedekes, and you don't care that someone will like you. Your mamas don't care. You just want to please Hashem. Do one thing once a month, you're a total success. A gold star. That's terrific. And I'm not going to say you're going to get all of my buff for that, because that'll ruin it, right? But in the Chavis HaLovas' world, that is the pinnacle of success. And we're not, once a month for 1 minute is wonderful. But the tadaktik bo lechvodo yisala, and do the mitzvah lishmo, he says, for his sake, and do it carefully. Don't say, good enough. You gotta do it carefully. Miboshtecha, and you should feel that Hashem's watching you, and you're a little embarrassed, like the video camera's rolling. Mihashkafoso olecha bo, kamoshenemar, Hashem yodea machshvos odom kemohobo. Video camera's always running, and it doesn't just see what you do and what you think, it sees everything. Because we do things, we're motivated even without the therapist. We have not such good motivations, and we should solve this ourselves. We're resentful, we're angry at someone, and they ask us to do them a favor. You know, it's so easy to be over in a coma without even being a bad person. But it's not Nakama. She's not my friend, so I don't have to do her a favor. If she treated me the way she treated me, then she's not my friend. And that's like the biggest rationale for Nakama. Not my friend. I'm not my friend. So if she did that to me, I don't have to do her a favor. She's not my friend. It could theoretically be true, but 95% of the time, it's good old fashioned Nakama. Okay. Those are seven things. We'll move on to number eight now. For Hashmini, amazing. I'm just going to talk, and we're going to learn the text next week. Be'ezus Hashem. We all heard a Shara Yichud.
Chavis Halvavos, I gave two wonderful, fantastic shirim in Shehar Yichud. Heavy stuff, Hashem is one, everything's Hashem, the table's Hashem, the tefillah's Hashem, everything is just a manifestation of His will, Hashem Echad, the depth of Hashem Echad, He is one, He's unique, He's not just one, not two, He is one in the objective sense of the word. I could have one pen in my pocket, but I theoretically could have two. Hashem is one, indivisible, He's not made up of parts, He doesn't change. The whole, that's Shehar Yichud, Hashem is one. Then there's a shahr called Shahr Yichud HaMaisa, which means that we should direct everything we do to that we're doing it because it's Ratzon Hashem. We don't care about what people think. We don't care about what anyone thinks. We only care about what Hashem thinks. And as we learn Shahr Yichud HaMaisa, we say, but what do you mean? So you could punch someone in the face because you don't care what they think? No, you're not allowed to punch someone in the face because Hashem doesn't want you to punch them in the face. And all these things that we do are ultimately because Hashem wants them or doesn't want them. They're not because I care really what that person thinks about me, unless Hashem tells me to care what he thinks about me. Okay, that's Yichud HaMaisa, single-mindedness of purpose. That's the Shahr after Shahr Bitachon. So up until we get up to this cheshbon and the Chavis Halvavos, you say, hey, that's cute, you know, I can have the same name sort of, but you don't really connect the dots. One thing has nothing to do with the other. I mean, Shahr Yichud is that Hashem is one, Hashem Echad, and the depth of that and how deep that is and how all encompassing it is and how objective it is and how it has so many ramifications, and this is that I should direct everything I do towards Hashem. I am doing everything because it's the will of Hashem, and that's all I care about. I have nothing else in my life. Chavis Halvavos in Cheshbon number 8 connects the dots, and it's fascinating. He doesn't explain how he connects them. We're going to figure it out together. He connects the dots. He says it's the same. It's coming from the same source. You have to think about Yichud Hashem. And Yichud Hashem, he says, takes two forms, two manifestations of Hashem Echad, sort of. One is Hashem Echad, and one is that we have to be Echad also. That everything we do is Hashem. In other words, we have Bechira. We live life, we do things, we eat, we drink, we do all the things we do in life. Everything has to be Echad. Everything is because it's Ratzon Hashem. Everything we do, that's Yichud HaMaisa. But he makes it two sides of a coin. Yichud, Shahr HaYichud, Yichud Hashem is thinking about and realizing, like this is Cheshbon HaNefesh, thinking about how Hashem is Echad and all of the things that we try to understand when we learn Shahr HaYichud. There were two shiurim that sort of gave a picture of Shahr HaYichud as best as I'm able to, which is not that great, but I'll do the best I can. And then he's the other side of the coin. Okay, you always think it's a coincidence that this is called Yichud HaMaisa. It's the same Yichud. That's what he says in Cheshbon 8. Because it's again, it's Hashem Echad. And Hashem Echad is not only the world and Hashem and His nature and time and space and events, but it's also my actions. And as I have to see to it that all my actions proclaim Hashem Echad. The beautiful, he just casually puts them together. I mean, he doesn't even explain it the way I'm explaining it. And I don't even know, maybe you'll have a better picture of it than I am right now capable of explaining it. He makes it, he puts them together. He puts them, there's two Yichuds you have to think about, he says. You have to think about Yichud Hashem, in the sense of Shahr HaYichud, Hashem Echad, and you have to think about Yichud HaMaisa, making Hashem Echad. This is really my words, not his, but this is what he's saying. You have to make Hashem Echad in your actions. How do you do that? By that everything you do is the will of Hashem. And that's its purpose, and that's its motivation. And as we learn in Shahr HaYichud, it's very, very hard.
much harder than it sounds, because we're full of, we have life, we have neighbors, we have friends, we have spouses, we have people looking at us, we have, you know, we're constantly interacting with people, and you better believe I care what they think about me. And Shari Chalamaisa tries to teach us, no, that's wrong, because Hashem, everything we do should have that element of yichud to it. That's what he's really teaching us here. I mean, that the word yichud is not a coincidence. It has that Hashem is everything, and in our actions too, we proclaim that by our bechira actions, and we only care about what Hashem thinks. We're like adding another dimension, if I may say such a sentence. He's adding a dimension to Hashem Echad, that our actions are Hashem Echad. There's nothing else. There's no what the neighbor will think, what the principal will think, what my friends will think, what people will think, what they'll say about me, what they'll think of me. None of that. Except if that's goof of the will of Hashem. Right? If that's the will of Hashem, let's say there's a pasuk, there's a concept of the Yisim Nekiyim Hashem Emi Yisrael, that you shouldn't let people be choshed you that you're doing an Avera. Okay? But that's, you care about what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want that to happen. So you're focused on Ratzon Hashem. Everything is that, and that's what Shari Yichud HaMaisa teaches us. And Shari Hashmini says, Cheshbon Adam Im Nafsho, think about this obligation you have of Yichud. B'meshu Chayabo Mi'ichud Libo Le'lokim Yisbarach V'Yichud HaLev Al Shnei Ponim. What you'll be thinking about in terms of Hashem's Yichud is there's two sides to that. Echad Mehem Yichud HaLev B'Yichud HaKel Kasher biyarnu betchilas haSefer hazeh, that shar haYichud, vaHasheni Yichud haLev beEsheyase meUma miMaisei haOlam haBo, meaning mitzvahs chova O Rishus, hugely important word. O Rishus, well, everything we do, we eat, we sleep, we take a walk, we go jogging, we schmooze, anything is leLokim levado. Hashem wants me to do this. Again, this is ideal. If you could do it once a day, that's terrific. If you could say, I'm going to sleep now, no one should bother me. Hashem wants me to. Because Hashem wants a calm, if you have calm parents, and a calm mother, and a calm wife. You can't kid yourself. But if you do that, that is so terrific, because then you're in Eved Hashem. In everything you do, that's like a very, very high madrega. Halavai, we should do it once a day in something we do. It's hard with a mitzvah, because the mitzvahs we do are either by rote, unfortunately, all too often, or because the neighbor is looking at us, or we don't want the principal of my kid's school, or someone's going to ask about shiduchim, and you know, we have all crazy kinds of motivations. So it's not so simple in mitzvahs either, but he says mitzvah, and certainly in rishus, it's like a very difficult task to do things because it's Hashem's will. But it is, Hashem wants us to do all the things we do. And if he doesn't, then we shouldn't be doing it. If you can't, I mean, again, ideally, if you can't look in the mirror and say, Hashem wants me to do this, then yeah, there doesn't have to be one of the 365 lavim. That's what he says in Shavu the Salokim. There's no such thing really as Divrei Rishus. Things are either Hashem's will or they're not Hashem's will. Hashem is not undecided.